Our epistle lesson today is found in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 8. As you yourselves know, brothers and sisters, our visit with you wasn't a waste of time. On the contrary, we had the courage through God to speak God's good news in spite of a lot of opposition. Although we had already suffered and were publicly insulted, as you know, our appeal isn't based on false information, the wrong motives, or deception. Rather, we have been examined and approved by God to be trusted with the good news, and that's exactly how we speak. We aren't trying to please people, but we're trying to please God, who continues to examine our hearts. As you know, we never use flattery, and God is our witness that we didn't have greedy motives. We didn't ask for special treatment from people, not from you or from others, although we could have thrown our weight around as Christ's apostles. Instead, we were gentle with you, like a nursing mother caring for her own children. We were glad to share not only God's news with you, but also our very lives, because we cared for you so much. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A few weeks ago, for Roy's birthday, I wanted to get him a new computer, some sort. He still had a laptop that was, well, it was ancient. And I was frankly tired of hearing him get mad every time he tried to do something and it wouldn't do what he wanted it to do. So I wanted to get him a computer, and the problem was I couldn't surprise him because I didn't know what he wanted. And so I just decided that on his birthday, we would go to one of the big box stores, and he could just walk around and play with all the different things, iPads and tablets and laptops, and he could decide what he liked. So we went, and we tried them all out, and we went around, and we tried them all around again. And he got a lot of information, and finally, he picked out the right one, the right size, the right item. It had everything, most everything that he wanted on it, the toys. And he's still trying to learn it, I might add. But it made me think, how often do we treat God like that? Okay, God, I want to know that you won't be upset if I do this. I want to make sure that you'll give me this. I don't want to feel bad when I do this, so don't bug me about it. Oh, and I know you didn't mean this when you said. Do we do that sometimes? Do we try to treat God like a big box store and pick out what we want, what fits us, and what makes us feel good, and we kind of leave out the rest? I read our Matthew passage, and I think about the Pharisees. They're wanting to trick Jesus. He's already put the Sadducees in their place, and they're wanting to get him in a bind. And you know, Jesus just doesn't play that game. Just like God doesn't play that game with us. On the one hand, we want this Christian walk to be easy. We don't really want to have to do much of ourselves. But then on the other hand, we try to make it so very hard. Complicated. I've tried to figure out why that is. Why do we work to make understanding what is expected of us so difficult? Maybe because we don't want to have to do what's difficult. And admittedly, there are some things in here that are very confusing. I admit that. Things that are written here that we don't understand. But sometimes we work very hard to rationalize. And sometimes we use this to help us rationalize what we want it to say. One of the phrases in this Thessalonians passage that jumps out at me is part of verse 4. We aren't trying to please people, but we're trying to please God. I almost feel like we need to do that like we did with the children. We're not trying to please people. We're trying to please God. God who continues to examine our hearts. I admit I get really caught up by that statement. And I will admit that I am a people pleaser. I do not like to disappoint people. I know I do it on a daily basis, but I hate it. But I'm learning. Or maybe I should say I'm trying to learn each day that pleasing people is not what this whole thing is about. I feel guilty when I can't go to something that someone wants me to go to with them. I feel guilty when I hurt someone, even if it's for a good reason. And by that, I mean when I have to stand up for an issue or an injustice. Inevitably, it hurts someone, and I feel guilty. I have to keep telling myself, Jesus wasn't a people pleaser. Jesus wasn't. I think we could make a pretty long list of people that Jesus didn't please. And we could start with the Sadducees and Pharisees. But you know what? That wasn't what Jesus came to do in this world. That's not to say that he didn't love people, but he wasn't here to please them. He was here to show them. Dinesh D'Souza says that being a servant of Jesus is to realize that walking in the glorious presence of Christ does not exempt one from obediently sharing in his suffering. No matter how things bother us or upset us, we're here to do what God calls us to do and not what this world calls us to do. When we look at this Matthew scripture today, Jesus really makes it pretty easy for us. All these things that we build up and all these difficulties we put on ourselves, Jesus simply peeled all of that away and made it very easy. And he steps right out there and he says, "You know, if you need me to make it easy for you, let me tell you how it is. You must love your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your mind." That pretty much peels all those hard questions away and makes it pretty easy, doesn't it? Love God with everything you've got. That sounds so simple. But I love that Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus says the second is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I've heard so many sermons over the years saying that that law really is three laws and not two. That Jesus is saying we are to love ourselves. And while I don't disagree with the sentiment, I think we get caught up in a different type of love than Jesus was talking about. The word that Jesus used there is the agape love. Not an emotional, romantic, touchy-feely kind of love. Not how do I pamper myself and do good things for myself. But the type of love that makes sure my basic needs are covered. The kind of love that is eternal and unconditional and perfect love. I'm fed. I'm sheltered. I have rest. I take care of myself. Jesus is saying, in addition to giving me your all, take care of the basic needs of those around you. Don't watch others go hungry. Don't watch others go without shelter. Don't watch others overdo and burn out. Help one another. Take care of others' basic needs. I think Jesus is telling us that there are two sides to the coin. That you can't love God with everything you are if you're not making sure that those around you know God's love and are taken care of. And you know what? You can't really take care of those around you unless you're meeting your own basic need of loving God with all that you are. It's two sides of one coin. I started out talking about going to the big box store and finding just the right fit for what Roy needed in a computer. But I needed Roy to go with me because he was going to be the one using it. So I needed to see what he needed. But I think sometimes we try to craft ourselves without God being there with us. We justify all that we're doing as taking care of ourselves, not by seeking what God wants from us, but seeking what we want. It really isn't important to God if we have the luxuries of life. I don't think it's wrong, but that's not what God is concerned about. And I hate to break this to you all, but I don't think God even cares about what football team wins on Saturday. Now, I know there's lots of prayers that go up on Saturdays. And I think God probably likes that conversation. But I don't think it's about that. I think it is about us crafting our lives the way that God wants us to craft. And to choose those things that God wants to be a part of our lives. And not the things that we want or the world wants. I do know that God cares about our hearts and our minds and our strengths and where we direct those. And I know that God cares about how we treat and help those around us. We're not here to please this world as much as we'd like to. And it would certainly make our life easier if we pleased everyone around us. But we're not called to an easy life. We're called to that life of walking next to Christ and obediently sharing in his suffering. And that involves sacrifice and love. May we walk joyfully with our God and be willing to sacrifice as we walk. Amen and amen. Our hymn of response today is one that we often sing when we're together around tables or as community. Blessed be the tie that binds, the thing that brings us together. And so during this time, as we sing this hymn, I invite you to respond to God in whatever way you need to respond. Silently at where you stand, or publicly, if you would like to share with this community, or if you need to unite with a community, I invite you to come as we stand and sing hymn number 267.